On this fast, if you're doing a water fast only, you will lose 1 pound per day. So, we gave you a packet on fasting. Go through the packet, use wisdom, and don't come to me and say, can I do this, can I do that, can I do that? Read the packet, seek God's face, and there it is. I'm not going to put a seal on what you want to do. Amen. I was telling Deborah when I used to fast, excuse me, and that was 20 years ago when I fasted, nothing but water fast. My mother used to always get on me, and the people at work say, how much more weight are you going to lose? But, you know, God was with me, and that was 20 years ago, so he was in control. And now, I'm not going to ask you to go on a 40-day fast and then one day drink and then go another 40-day fast. So, you know, when this 40-day fast is over, it's over, as far as I'm concerned, because we're doing this as unto the Lord first, but we're doing this because Lou Engle of The Call wants their church worldwide to fast for 40 days. And I know you all are going to think you're going to die because you're told you can't eat food, but the bulletin was from God, the cover verse from God, so take it up with him. Just like Elaine said, ask God. If you don't want to believe me, just ask God, all right? You're going to find the song service is going to be different for the next 3 or 4 services because I was asking God what I should teach on, and he said, where is my Jesus? So as I thought about that, where is my Jesus? The Jesus that I serve is not what I see other people serve, all right? I'm not going to teach on that this morning. I'm going to teach on something else. You'll get that tonight. But so, I really tried to get fast songs. I couldn't get fast songs. I tried to get medium songs. Couldn't get medium songs. The songs are going to all be about Jesus, because you're going to learn who Jesus is, all right? If nothing else, through the praise and worship. Hopefully, you'll pick something up about who Jesus really is. And the sermon for tonight is really awesome about who Jesus is. And, I think it's awesome. You can think whatever you want to when I give it, all right? But what I want to do this morning is, Father God, I thank you and I praise you. I thank you for angelic angels, that are angelic hosts here right now, Father God, walking to and fro throughout these chairs. I thank you, Father, that you are in control of all things. I thank you, God, that in you and through you, we can do all things. And I thank you, Father God, you're going to let these people see they're not going to die in the next 40 days, but they will be resurrected into new life in a much more intimate relationship with you. Open the ears up this morning, Father, and let them hear the spirituals. Let them hear what thus saith the Lord. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. What I'm going to do this morning is we know Billy Graham passed. And we know, I forgot how many years ago, that God prophesied that when Oral Roberts went and Billy Graham went, his grace would be removed from the church. And great darkness would be in the church, but at the same time, great light would be in the church also. All right. Now, I've been telling you for quite some time that to hold on, that God's taken us into some really great and wonderful things. But you don't believe me, but you'll believe somebody else that says it, and that's fine. So I just want you to believe that we are really headed in for one of the greatest times in church history that we've ever gone into. And I've been in this for a long time. And I'm excited where God's taken us to. I'm excited with what he's been doing through us to get us ready for this end time dispensation. If you've been coming here, he's been trying to get you cleaned up. If you didn't let him get you, if you did not allow him to clean you up, then you're not going to go into the glory drop. You're just not going to go. He's been telling you that all along. Now, I'm not talking to new converts. I'm talking to people who have been attending in this church for 3, 4, 5 years, or into any church, 3, 4, 5, 10 years, and you're still the same today as you were 10 years ago. You're the ones that God has been chastising and trying to get you to where he wants you to be. So let's see what Billy Graham has to say here. Well, no, Billy Graham didn't say this. Lana Vaser said this from Australia. And she's a wonderful prophetic woman of God that you can really trust. She says, what a man. Billy Graham, what a man. What a hero of the faith. What an inspiration to so many, myself included. What a powerful legacy of a life lived, yielded to Jesus. See what she says? What a powerful legacy of a life lived, yielded to Jesus. Changed by the power of the gospel, marked by the love of Jesus. He changed the world with Jesus. I can only imagine the reception he received in heaven. To quote Rick Joyner, he ran well and he finished well. He has finished his course. Our prayers are with his family today. I knew this day would come, and I knew the significance of in the earth that this day would hold. And this is Atlanta speaking. 2 years ago, over the span of 2 months, the Lord took me into encounters and dreams regarding what would be heralded and released on the earth, beginning with the passing of Billy Graham. I knew this would be the day to release his prophetic word. I won't be sharing all the details of the dreams and encounters in this word, but I feel strongly to release the decrees that were released to me in the first dream. Double portion of the Elijah anointing. 2 years ago, I had a dream, and the Lord told me that the time was coming soon where Billy Graham would be called home. In this particular dream, I was invited into Billy Graham's house. The atmosphere was full of purity. See what his house was like? The atmosphere was full of purity, humility, integrity, character, and strength. Can you say that about your own home? Billy Graham knew God. He was a priest in his home. He raised his wife and his children with a priestly anointing. He stayed pure all his life. So she said, the atmosphere was full of purity, humility, integrity, character, and strength. The atmosphere of his home testified to the incredible impact of his ministry and an example of what can take place in the world through a yielded life to Jesus. See, you have to yield your life to Jesus. The Lord was clearly showing he was inviting his people into a deeper place of humility, character, and holiness, not in striving, but in yieldedness. Isn't this what God's been doing with this church? She said the Lord was clearly showing he was inviting his people into a deeper place of humility, character, and holiness, not in striving, but in yieldedness. There was also another testimony that was almost booming in the atmosphere. There was a loud testimony of a man who lived with such character, such solidarity, such devotion to Jesus with no compromise, not moving from truth and living a life of humility, integrity, and purity of heart. There's not one of you in here today that can't say that you did not compromise your walk with God in some way, shape, or form. But he did not. I remember standing in his house in this dream and being overcome by the purity and integrity Billy carried. In his home, she felt that as she stood in his home. At the end of this dream, a prophetic decree was made. When Billy Graham dies, a double portion of the Elijah anointing will be released upon the earth. Now it came about when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elijah, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elijah said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. 2 Kings 2:9. Here's where you'll find that. As we see from Scripture, Elijah's ministry was filled with signs and miracles, prophetic warnings, prophetic decrees, and proclamations. All right? This is what you should be expecting. If you've yielded yourself to God 100% and you're walking in pureness and holiness and integrity and character, this is what you can expect in your life. Also, this decree was made twice in my dream, and two represents witness and testimony. As this decree was made, the atmosphere was electric. That is the only way I can describe it. It was electric with the power of the Holy Spirit decreeing the end of an era and the beginning of a new era. The era of the greatest harvest and move of the Spirit upon the earth that we have ever seen. The old has passed away and the new is now here. The anointing of Billy Graham falling on a generation of people. Now she's saying in her dream she saw the anointing of Billy Graham falling on a generation of people. This decree heralded a time coming to the earth of great increase. of signs, wonders, and miracles unlike anything we have ever seen that would accompany the pure proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to see it like we've never seen it before. Remember, I used to always want what I used to have. And God said, don't want what you used to have because what you're going into is so much greater. So this is what the greater thing is. It's going to be a great increase of signs, wonders, and miracles unlike anything we have ever seen. Now, this is a great awakening and returning to the beauty, power, and simplicity of the gospel to usher in an incredible harvest of souls. Now, see, all of you sitting in here who have been sitting in here for a few years, and God's been giving you one prophetic word after another, telling you what he's going to do with your life and what, you know, what kind of ministry he wants you to have, that time is here now. And see, it's what you did from the time he started telling you that until now, whether or not you're going to receive your mantle. It's whether or not you're going to step into your ministry. If you've been doing changing like God's been asking you to, and if you've been doing everything God's asked you to do, then you're going to step into your ministry overnight. And I've been trying to encourage you all the years to keep on going. Some of you didn't listen. Some of you didn't heed what I had to say. When I encourage you to keep on going, I was encouraging myself too. Because like I was telling somebody in my home today, I'd like to go back 20 years because I don't like living in this earth as it is today. It's dark. It's terrible. I would like to go back to at least maybe 15 years ago where you had some peace, where there was light everywhere and you know, wasn't all this sin, all this degradation. As I don't know about you, but I am not comfortable living in this world as it is today. Amen. I'm not comfortable in the body of Christ because the body of Christ is two-faced. You know, they say the flattering things with their lips, but they live a different lifestyle. And this is not godly. All right. It's awakening not only the evangelist, but awakening the fire of evangelism within the hearts of all believers. It's the anointing of Billy Graham falling upon a generation of people. All right, you're seeing this. The old has already passed. He's gone. The new is now in. So where are you standing with God right now? The decree established such a branding over this new era that the signs, wonders, and miracles that would accompany the proclamation of the word of God would be unprecedented. Everywhere you go, everywhere, if you're really yielded to God, everywhere you go, signs, wonders, and miracles are going to accompany you. Are you seeing this? But you can't have any of the old on you. That old has to be totally, completely gone. I mean, that's a mixture, and God doesn't work with mixture. This will be a significant shift, a time of a greater increase of the mantle of evangelism that's being released onto the earth. Now, see, you guys that are on the streets, I really think that's a mantle of evangelism that God has dropped upon you. To go out there in the street now, you will have to carry the Billy Graham anointing with you, and you should see great signs and wonders following your ministry from this point on. But I just feel like to tell you this, but you need to quit coming against other pastors. You cannot sit around and judge and ridicule other pastors because that's going to take away from your ministry. You won't have one. All right? And don't put down other pastors. It's not of God. If you don't like what a pastor is doing, I'm just telling you what I'm just hearing God say. If you don't like what a pastor is doing, then get out from underneath them. But leave them alone. All right, this will be a significant shift, a time of a greater increase of the mantle of evangelism is being released onto the earth. We will see a great harvest, a harvest that will come from every direction, the bountiful harvest. You know, if you've really been looking at the pictures of Billy Graham, did you souls everywhere? And really, his message was so simple. Just get it together. That was his message. Repent. Just get it together. I mean, so what? I mean, just an ocean of people standing out there. And see, this is what's going to happen now, because I'm going to tell you right now, you know, you guys that have younger kids, 4, 5, 6 year old, your kids are full of demons. And you need to get, those kids need to be set free. I was doing deliverance on little Isaiah yesterday, and that devil looked at me and he said, I'm not going anywhere. I said, oh, yeah, you are, buddy. And you're going out of him and out of here. And he left screaming, but he left. But, you know, well, but I'll tell you what happened. The last 2 days, he's been, well, the last 2 days before that, he was really, really, something got into him, and he was really a mess. And so God said, why are you tolerating this? Why are you chastising him? Why don't you get rid of what's causing all this? So I said, okay, come on. Up on the chair, we're going to do, I don't want to do deliverance, he said. That spirit said, I don't want to go out of here. I said, you're going. See, what do? You just let your kids go on, and you just fuss at everybody else. Well, they're just picking at my kids. Well, go ahead. That demon will rule you one day. You need to get your kids set free. You're the parent. Do the work. All right, that time is now upon us, this bountiful harvest. A new era, the changing of the guards. Are you listening? Some of you people that are just coming into the body of Christ, you are taking the place of the people that's been in the church who wouldn't serve God. God has brought you into the house of God to clean you up, and you're going to go out and do great and mighty works for God. That's why you're sitting in here. You aren't here by chance. You aren't here by mistake. God is trying to clean you up now so he can use you with great signs, wonders, and miracles. A double portion released upon the earth. Much is going to be released by the hand of the Lord from this moment on. All right? We have been in a season of awakening, acceleration, and seeing the Lord move. But the shift has begun to now see the glory of God cover the earth in tangible, increased ways. Increase of the revelation of righteousness in Christ. What has God been trying to get us to do? Walk in righteousness, has he not? Remember, God told this church about a year ago, his grace was removed from this church. But they're saying that, the grace didn't remove from the church until Billy Graham passed away. But you know what? Forerunners always get it first. Always remember that. A significant increase has already begun on the revelation of righteousness in Christ prior to Billy Graham's death. A significant release has already begun on the revelation of righteousness in Christ prior to Billy Graham's death. So God was working on his church to get it together in righteousness before he died. The fire of God's love is going to significantly increase from this day on, releasing the fruit and truth of our righteousness in Christ. This will bring a revival and a returning to the revelation of the message of the gospel. Condemnation, shame, and guilt is going to fall off the body of Christ in significant ways, and many in the body of Christ will encounter Jesus and the gospel message in such a new and fresh way that they will feel like they have been saved for the first time all over again. And I've really been crying out for about a year now for God to do that to this church. I remember I tell you, you need to be re-dipped. And I say that because I really see that you really do need to be re-dipped. You need to get saved all over again. You need to return back to your first love. Because your pride and everything else has taken you off course. And God's been trying to get you back on course. Scales that have blinded eyes to the truth of their righteousness in Christ and lies caging the heart will suddenly be healed by the revelation of Jesus and his death at Calvary and his resurrection. Scales that have blinded eyes to the truth of their righteousness in Christ. People can't believe that they're righteous in Christ. They can't believe that God loves them. And lies caging the heart will suddenly be healed by the revelation of Jesus and his death at Calvary and his resurrection. For God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us. This is 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that he who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God through our union with him. It's talking about Jesus, how Jesus died for you and I to bring forth righteousness. I want you to just really sink deep into your spirits, people, because you don't have no more time to play. Playtime ended before today. So now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. That's Romans 8:1. So now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. So if you're born again, if you're really saved, if you're really following God, you will walk under condemnation. You won't. If a word is being preached and you know you're guilty, then you'll say, whoops, I got to get that together. If you're not guilty, you'll just say, that was a good word. You won't walk around in condemnation, offense, and everything else. Oh, increase of the prophetic mantle. There was a significant shift and increase of the prophetic mantle upon the earth with Billy Graham passing on to glory. Do you see that? An increase of the prophetic mantle. So a lot of the world that's going to come in are going to be prophets. God's going to already have them anointed to prophesy. And you in here who are walking holy before the Lord, if you're a prophet, your prophetic anointing is going to increase. And God's going to use that prophetic voice to go really deep into a person's life, and you'll be telling that person things that nobody knows except them and God. Are you hearing? And they'll be accurate, too. It won't be mixed stuff. It'll be accurate. There will be a significant increase in eyes to see, vision for what the Lord is doing and releasing upon the earth. God wants us to see into the spirit realm. And he wants us to see what's going to occur on the earth so that we can forewarn the people what is coming. Are you listening here? You know, so many of you, you're even ashamed to tell people what you know. And that's not, why do you do that? I get ridiculed every day for what I say is going to happen. I really don't care. I know what God tells me. And I tell them, I forewarn them. You know, so if they don't take it, that's on them, not on me. Amen? The seer anointing, there will be a double portion increase of the seer anointing upon the earth. Now, the seer anointing, that's in 2 Kings 6:17. The seer anointing increase upon the body of Christ is to see in the spirit and into the reality of heaven. I just told you that. So it can be decreed upon the earth. This will bring healing, restoration, peace, realignment, and unprecedented demonstrations of the power of God in signs, wonders, and miracles. Do you know why the church is in the mess it's in? It's because a true prophet go out there and prophesy what's going to happen in America. And then your false prophets come along and say, don't believe that. That is not, God would never do that. And then you have a lot of confusion going on in the body of Christ. And this is why you have to learn to hear the voice of God for yourself. So that whenever somebody else says, yep, God told me that already. God told me that too. So, you should be able to say, yep, I already heard that from God. Or it should witness to you, yep, that is God. I was reading an article about this man who was in jail for 20 years for abusing his child, which he didn't do, but now they're finally going to give him a new trial. And as I was reading it, and I said, God, please vindicate this man and set him free. And he said, thank you, daughter, for praying for him. He said, I'm going to. You know, how many of you, when you're reading something like that in the news, and I said, God, if he's really innocent, and I feel like he is innocent from what I read, I said, please vindicate him. He said, I'm going to. See, how many of you do that when you're reading a news article, or just reading him, well, you know. Somebody has to pray for these people. We're supposed to be intercessors, right? Or you just say, well, he deserves what he gets. Well, you know, you deserve what you get too then. And you have no reason to fuss about it if you're not going to have compassion for somebody else. Lost my place again. We will see a greater increase of the prophets seeing and decreeing. See this, prophets? We will see a greater increase of the prophets seeing and decreeing the ways of God and teaching the body of Christ in the ways of God. You see that? We will see a greater increase of the prophets seeing, going to see into their spirit, and decreeing, and not only into person's spirit, but also into the spirit realm. All right? The Lord heralded that this significant increase would be released at the passing of Billy Graham. There will also be a significant increase of the favor of God upon many prophets to be voices in the world. Now, where you didn't find favor before, all of a sudden you're going to find great favor. Isn't that wonderful? But now all of a sudden you're going to find great favor. That will cause the world to turn their heads to listen, to admire, and to seek the wisdom of God. We have already seen this happening, but it is about to significantly shift and increase. A whole lot of things are changing rapidly. They've already started changing. There's so much going on in the atmosphere. The last week has been a tizzy in the atmosphere. And if you didn't feel that, well, then you're not walking where you should be. I even said to my husband last night, I said, I couldn't sleep. He said, I couldn't either. And I said, just something going on in the atmosphere. He said, yeah, I just couldn't touch it either. But we could feel it. It's in the atmosphere. Something is changing drastically. Purity, integrity, humility, and character to carry the increase. That's what you're going to have. purity, integrity, humility, and character to carry the increase. This first dream I had clearly showed the increase being released at Billy's passing and the mantles that would be released upon the earth. Yet there was also a strong sense in me to not just chase after a mantle, listen to this, for the sake of wanting the mantle of Billy Graham, but this was an invitation from the Lord to look at how Billy stewarded his life and ministry to sustain the anointing God released upon him. Too many people want somebody else's anointing, and they will not pay the price, live the life to get it for themselves. Are you listening? And I'm so sick and tired of watching that in the body of Christ. You pay the price. You go through the furnace of affliction. You sit on the backside of the desert for years. You do what it takes to get the anointing. And then the devil can't steal it from you. Amen? Come on. I sensed strongly that the Lord was looking for those who were walking in the purity, integrity, humility, and character that was displayed by the fruit of Billy Graham's life. The Lord is looking for those who can carry the major harvest season we have moved into and the double portion being released now upon the earth. The Lord is looking for those who can carry. Now, if you're crumbling under a little bit of fence, then you can't carry what's here. You have to be strong. You're a forehead of flint, a backbone of steel. You have to be strong, and you have to be able to stand up to the devil. Not get ignorant. I didn't say that. That you have to stand up to the devil, you know, in Christ. You're in Christ, and you stand up to the devil, face him face to face, and just smile. Just smile and quality yourself and get back to hell where you belong. You can't crumble when somebody comes against you and talks, says all manner. You cannot crumble. You have to stay strong. Do like I do. You stay strong, and then when you go home, you go in the corner and say, God, why did I have to endure this again? You know, but don't let the devil see you do that. You stand there and you stand your ground. All right? All right, the Lord's heart in the dream was burning with love to prepare his people to carry what he is going to release. What he is going to release. He still has not released the glory yet, guys. We have it in a little bit here and a little bit there, but we do not have it in its fullness. So don't fool yourself and think you have it in its fullness, because you don't. It has not yet come in its fullness. There was a strong emphasis on humility in the dream. The place of humility is the yielded place. You know, this is like when your brother, I haven't seen Brother Ethan since he preached. So I have to call him. He must have fell through the crack somewhere. But, you know, he stood up here and he just couldn't talk. And God had him release the humility that he had in him on you guys. See, he stood up here, even though he couldn't talk, in complete humility, and he did not crumble. If you watched that. All right, so the place of humility is a yielded place. He just stood here and yielded himself to God. Are you listening? He didn't try to put on airs. He didn't try to say something he couldn't say. Or he just stood here because he knew he was done. I hope you surely do understand what I'm saying here this morning. There's too many people that have what you call the charisma. I'd like to take that word and erase it out of their dictionary. And you know, they stand up here or anywhere, you know, and they just speak flowering words that don't mean tiddly. But humility doesn't do that. You stand up here, and, you know, anywhere. You stand up there and you think you're all that, and then some, boy, just words just flow. The devil's speaking right on through you. That's the devil speaking right on through you to even increase your pride. I've got to mark my, I've lost my place again. All right, there was a strong emphasis on humility in the dream. The place of humility is a yielded place. It's saying, you are God, I am not. You are God, I am not. It's a place of purity that takes no glory for themselves, but all glory is given to Jesus. In a purity and devotion to Jesus, to see him glorified and his kingdom extended. See that? God's God, you are not. You quit trying to be. If you quit trying to be God, then you really have an intimate relationship with him. Pride will hinder and get in the way of what God wants to do in this new era. In this dream, pride and arrogance was hindering a mighty move of the Spirit of God. See this? In her dream, pride and arrogance was hindering a mighty move of the Spirit of God. Micah 6:8 says, "Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And James 4:6 says, but he continues to pour out more and more grace upon us, for it says, God resists you when you are proud, but continually pours out grace when you are humble. See this? You wonder why the grace has been lifted off your life? Because you're not humble. You're still full of that pride, that junk. The Lord was clearly showing that he was inviting his people into a deeper place of humility, character, and holiness. Not in striving, but in yieldedness. As I have taken time to sit with the Lord, the Spirit of God has been whispering to me, with the passing of Billy Graham, now shall we see a great increase in the revival of holiness in my people. Whoever said, praise God, thank you, say it again. I'm so tired of seeing demons in sitting in the house of God, aren't you? An increase of the wave of repentance upon my people. See, repentance, this is all stuff God's been we've been teaching us. Upon my people, a deep cleansing and purification, a deep cleansing and purification to move forward with me into this season of double portion harvest and anointing with greater fruit of humility and character. You know, if I was you, I'd really say, God, clean it. I might look good on the outside, but please clean this dirty cup on the inside. Clean this cup up. I don't want anything in here that's defiled. I don't want anything in here that's dirty and that it would embarrass you. And that's what the devil does, you know. He'll let you be in front of a bunch of people, and then he'll bring out that filth and embarrass God. Are you listening? The invitation released in this first dream 2 years ago is the invitation he has been releasing in this season. God is inviting his people to participate as we move into the greatest move of the Spirit of God we have seen upon the earth. Now, I didn't see that when I was typing this. It said the invitation released in this first dream 2 years ago. So God's been trying to get us to walk in holiness and everything else 2 years ago. Not just at the passing of Billy Graham. Then 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. With your fasting that you're doing, now's a good time to get yourself right with God. Totally right with him. As we embrace the ways of God and the fire of God, the ways of God, the fire of God, inviting the Spirit of God to continue to work in our lives, to mold our character, and bring us deeper into the place of humility, integrity, and holiness, we will see the kingdom of God extended and Jesus receive his full reward, as the church does its job. Are you listening? I'm asking you, those of you who are sitting in here and you've been sitting here for years, please don't run from God at this given point in your life. Not unless you know if you've just totally done it in and there's no way out. But I would not run from God right now. I would hang in there with everything I had, even if I was hanging with a thread. I mean it, because you just never know. Look at all this stuff, you know, that all this good stuff God's going to do with the passing of Billy Graham to the people sitting in the house of God. It's going to set him free. You know, it's just a shame you run your race this far and then you stopped here because, well, I'm under condemnation. She's preaching condemnation now again this morning. I know some of you are sitting here thinking that. That's a shame. I'm not. I'm telling you what this young lady said that God told her. God is inviting his people. Is that, where am I at? All right, an increase of the wave of repentance upon my people, a deep cleansing and purification to move forward with me into this season of double portion harvest and anointing with greater fruit of humility and character. The invitation released in this first dream 2 years ago is the invitation he has been releasing in this season. Still releasing. God is inviting his people to participate as we move into the greatest move of the Spirit of God we have seen upon the earth. And then I read 2 Chronicles 7:14. As we embrace the ways of God and the fire of God, inviting the Spirit of God to continue to work in our lives, to mold our character and bring us deeper into the place of humility, integrity, and holiness, we will see the kingdom of God extended and Jesus receive his full reward. Now I'm going to hold my hand there. How many of you with your fasting, you know, just sort of nod to yourself, God's been showing you things about you that you didn't know you had in there? Things that really were impure that he needed to get out of you. Isn't God good? So are you crying and repenting and telling God, please remove all that from me. Just wash me clean. Amen. God is using the life of Billy Graham to demonstrate and communicate in many things. Billy's life was one that sustained the move of God through him. God entrusted him with much, and he could carry it. Some of you, you can't even carry a spoon, let alone a whole, you know, drawer full of silverware. And you're wanting God to let you have all the stuff. You're never going to get it because your character isn't there. The Holy Spirit, I'm just being honest. You know, the truth will set you free. And if it's free in one way or another. But I want you to receive this great glory. He's been talking to me, showing me all kind of things that's going to happen. And I'm going to tell you, you don't want to miss it. Remember what God said. If you don't get in the river, you're going to be standing on the riverbank, wishing you were in there, and you won't be able to get in. You're going to be one of those gnashing your teeth. Are you listening here? The Holy Spirit is building a people who are saying yes to be able to sustain the increase he is now releasing. Don't try to box this new move of God. The Lord showed me in this dream that we must cry out for him to come on his terms and his ways. Now, how many of you have been doing that? I said, God, if I've been doing anything in my own flesh, take this filthy flesh and crucify it. It's your way or no way. We as God's people are not to attempt to box in this new move of the Spirit of God upon the earth by our preconceived ideas, agendas, fears, or even what we have seen before. I was guilty of what we've seen before. I don't box God in. I just want him to move any way he wants to, anytime he wants to. I just wish he would do it now. Amen. I can't hardly wait for what everything that God has been telling me that he's going to do, you know, in this world. You know, I can't hardly wait to see all these souls come in here and how demons fly out of people and how God sets them, cleans them up, you know, in an instant and a wink of an eye. I mean, that's going to be so powerful, won't it? You know, it just, you know, anything that's bothering you, it's not going to be there when you leave because it's going to instantly jump right out of you. And you evangelists, anybody's evangelizing, or, you know, you with your women's aglow, you know, you should have such anointing on you that when people walk into your meetings or wherever you walk, that whatever's in those people should jump out of them. It should. It should jump right out of them. We are to stand before him in purity of heart, crying out, we want you on your terms. See that? We want the move of the Holy Spirit on your terms, and we won't stand in the way. We yield, we surrender, we invite you to come and pour out, move, shake, increase, and bring in the harvest in your way. I'm waiting for Elaine and Mark. I want you to put a little name. I'm going to make you a name tag, Mark, because I have a different name for you. I'm waiting for you when you walk in here and say you had a big gathering on the street corner and souls were saved. I'm waiting to hear that because I know it's going to happen. That when you walk up there, all of a sudden the Spirit of God is going to draw all these, drug people to you or whatever they are. And they're just going to scream and cry out. And they're going to want Jesus Christ. Amen. And God said, and the Spirit's over me. And God said, you two be ready. Don't go up there unprepared. Because you, well, praise God, there's one. And where there's one, there's a million, right? And I know you're not settling for one. That whole street needs to be saved. In the words of Billy Graham, I don't need a successor, only willing hands to accept the torch for a new generation. See that? In the words of Billy Graham, I don't need a successor, only willing hands to accept the torch for a new generation. A new day has dawned, a new era has begun. This is a significant moment in history. The passing of Billy Graham in the glory marks a very significant shift in the Spirit. Oh. The passing of Billy Graham into glory makes a very significant shift in the Spirit, in the earth, and in the body of Christ. What God is now releasing is so weighty, so strategic, and so significant. He's looking for the fresh yes and yieldedness to him. The harvest is huge and ripe, but there are not enough harvesters to bring it all in. As you go, plead with the owner of the harvest. This is Matthew 9:21. As you go, plead with the harvest, owner of the harvest, to thrust out many more reapers to harvest his grain. She goes on to play for Billy Graham, but Brother Chris, can you remember what you sent me about when Billy Graham died?
It was revealed that only one person remaining that was a part of the 1948 revival is left after Billy Graham passed, and that's Morris Schirillo. And don't know what's going to happen with that, but he's still alive and still ministering for the Lord.
He did his last crusade because he's sickly. But what else? What, Billy Graham died when? Who else died?
It was the same. I have to look that up.
He died the same. He's gonna look it up. With Billy Graham passing, a whole lot has changed in the spirit realm. Now, you guys, you can no longer walk today like you walked yesterday. You have to be so in tune to God, and you have to be listening to what He has to say, and you have to be walking the way He wants you to walk. I know everybody's saying, Billy, you ran a good race and this and that and the other. Yes, he did, but he had to have the character. He had to have the integrity. He had to have everything that went along with a man of God in order to finish his race. And the reason why some of you can't finish your race is because you're nowhere near where you need to be in Christ. You ready, Chris?
Yes. He passed on the same day exactly as T.L. Lowry, and he passed on the same year as Israel's 70th anniversary. And if you total his 9 months being carried in the womb, that was an exact 100 years.
100 years, right? Isn't that awesome? So see, so much significance in his passing. And Morris Sorello is sickly, too. That's why he held his last crusade not too long ago. If you look at him, he's really thin. So it's up to you. It's up to you what you do with what God has released here this morning. He's given you information that you can either just chuck in the garbage and say, we don't know what we're talking about, or you can take that information to God and you can have Him change and rearrange you and make you what He wants you to be. Now, I'm hearing God say there's a whole lot of washing that needs to be done on the inside in the body, that you're still not purged of your filth of the past. And God's been trying to cleanse you, but you hold on to some of your filth. And if you don't let it all go, then you're done. I'm just telling you what He's saying. He can't be up here playing games anymore. He never did play games. You people did, but He didn't. You just have to get it together. Starting today, you have to get it totally, completely together. You cannot no longer have excuses why you can't get it together. I know some of you in here, you've been through hell more times than you care to go through. But by the body of Christ. But God has cleansed you, God has resurrected you, and God has brought you forth. And now I'm hearing God say it's a new day dawning before you, and you don't have no excuse why you would ever want to not go forth and do what God's told you to do. You know, I'm looking forward to what God's going to do with me, and I hope you all are looking forward to what God's going to do with each one of you. I said, God, you're going to have to strengthen me. And like you said, restore my youth. If I'm going to do everything you've been showing me, I'm going to do. But you know what? God is able to do anything. And if He spoke it, He's going to do it. So whatever He's spoken to your life, if you've really followed up with what He's told you to do, if you've really been changing the way you think, your attitude and everything else, then God can use you. But if you're still the same old, God can't use you. Because you're in rebellion, in total rebellion. You're rebelling against everything God's told you that you know to do. And you're out there preaching the gospel, talking about God, and you yourself aren't living the right life. So where are you at with God? Each one of you know, really, before I even said anything, you all know where you're at with God. You need to get all the way with God. Not just 99, like God told me when I first started, not 99.9. I want the other 1% too. I want 100% of you, or I don't want any of you at all. So I had to give Him all 100%. So if I have to give Him 100%, Jesus gave 100%, what makes you think you can give Him 99.9? I want you to think about this. Do you want to be used by God in this mighty move, or do you not? Do you want to be one that's sitting there crying in your beard and saying, oh, I wished I would have lined up so I could be out there working with the signs, wonders, and miracles and working and walking and all this wonderful stuff God is doing? Come on. The altar's open. I think some of you need to do some repenting with what God has just said. And I don't care if you knew. You know, I told you one time when I first got born again, I really wasn't in any type of sin. And every time they made an altar call, God made me go to the altar. I said, God, they'll all think I'm the worst sinner in the world. He said, somebody has to lead them. So, you know, you don't know if somebody comes up here, whether they're just being where God's letting them be a leader so that you'll follow or what. But who cares? We don't care what's going on with our brother and sister. It's your soul that's at stake here, not your brothers or sisters, not what you think people are going to think about you.